Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small-batch, artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Breadbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. Catholic Man Show Wives Edition. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. I'm very much hoping that this show will go viral, as my wife is only... How many days are we in? Four days away from giving birth to our third son, Mr. Leo Thomas Minahan. And so, Dave, go ahead and go to the baby cam, if you would, please. No, I'm just joking. No, we don't have the baby cam. No.
You can watch him kick in there.
That's the best I got right there.
But no, we have, Dave, we have our wives on for the very first time. The first time we've had females on the Catholic Man Show.
Yeah.
Which,
have we ever had four people? It seems like a crowded...
I think you have.
This is as many people as we can fit on this camera right here.
No doubt. And most likely the holiest show that'll ever happen on the Catholic Man Show.
And the prettiest.
Without a doubt.
Like, by a lot.
By a lot.
So much.
Dave, why don't you go ahead and introduce your wife, and then I'll introduce mine.
This is my lovely wife, Pamela.
Hello.
Niles. We've been friends for a long, 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 long time. Well, we've known each other anyway for a long, long, long time. But we've been married for 5 years. We have... three girls, another child on the way.
Yes.
Not due in 4 days.
No.
But this is my beautiful wife. She has all of my best ideas, so I'm really excited for everyone to get to meet her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. And this is my beautiful wife, Haley.
Hi.
Due in 4 days.
Yes, correct.
We've been married since 2012. We have two boys, a little girl, a little baby in heaven. And one little boy on the way.
Right on.
Yeah.
And Haley told me that our wives were talking at their little Bible study that they have on Sunday last night when we didn't record.
Yeah.
And Pamela said, "So I have a strategy for tomorrow."
Haley, you ratted me out.
And she's like, "I'm just gonna try not to talk." And then Haley said, "No, you can't do that. That's my strategy." So they're both of them are attempting not to talk through the episode. So we'll see how that goes.
Holy silence.
Holy silence.
A beautiful strategy.
I feel like we're doing pretty well so far.
Doing great.
And once again, lest anybody accuse us of this, it's not because we told you to be women quiet in the background. Okay, this was your own decision. We didn't want you to do that. We're going to totally try to get you to talk.
We just nod. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Good luck with that.
Dave, I'm really excited. So, obviously, because... ladies, why don't you tell them what you're drinking this evening before we jump into ours.
Ooh, it looks really good.
It is. Haley concocted this her very own self with some input from me. It was a group effort.
Oh, yeah. It was a last minute,
on our own.
So what is it?
Wouldn't you like to know? It's ginger ale, grenadine, lemon juice.
Yeah, and a little squeeze of lemon and a lemon slice. And
nice.
Yeah, it's refreshing and pink.
What are we drinking, Adam?
So this evening we're drinking mead. A first for the Catholic Mansion. This is like a epic episode of a lot of firsts for us. So Eric Johnson out of Bend, Oregon sends us this. It's mead, Dave, why don't you read this right here?
The first time I ever heard of mead was on that Bud Light commercial, the Dilly Dilly commercials, which really fantastic.
They are good commercials.
Their commercials are very good.
But he even put together a little like.
So it's an ancient drink in Europe, though not as well known here. It's made from yeast and honey. It's less complicated than beer. It's quick to make. You ferment it. You need patience. The toast, or the gods, and kings.
Well, that whole thing was like part of like it was.
I'm just
like,
reading this powerful drink called mead. I was summarizing. I shouldn't have been doing that.
Yeah, because
you should
have
read it, Adam.
Yeah.
Let me try again. It's quick to make, and yet to ferment, patience you need. The toast of gods and kings, a powerful drink called mead.
There you go.
Well done.
Hooray.
Much better.
Dilly dilly. So to Eric, I appreciate you sending this to us. So it's basically what it is. It's fermented honey, like sugars from honey. So
hey, that sounds delicious.
So we're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
We didn't even practice that and
really
they
good.
Nailed it.
Wait, I got a double cheers.
They did it.
That is good.
Very drinkable. It's lightly carbonated.
I can definitely drink this. Yeah.
Well, it's lightly carbonated.
It's got little tiny bubbles in there.
It's 18% ABV though, so don't be playing around. Yes.
So you can just like take some honey and throw some yeast in it, and then
I think so it's basically beer yeast with honey fermented with water.
That's incredible.
So
who knew?
Aristotle talks about it actually in his books. Yes. That's all I know. I can recall.
In one of the Ethics?
I can't remember. It was an audiobook that I was listening to, like with Aristotle. And
dude,
like,
you can't audiobook Aristotle. Like,
I know. I agree. But you have to go through that learning process of like, I can't do this.
Now you know because you tried it. Yeah. That's a good way to learn things.
But I remember him talking about it.
Yeah, just to mess it up yourself.
Yeah. So, but he did talk about it. Ladies, so here's what's happened. We asked everybody if they wanted to, for us all to be on the episode. They said yes, and I said, okay, well, if that's the case, you guys have to ask questions that we're going to answer on air. So we printed off a list of questions, and I figured it'd be best. What we're going to do is we'll go through each, we'll take turns going through questions in between segments. If you're listening live or if you want to go back to our YouTube channel, we'll take maybe some questions from people who are asking them live currently in between segments. But on air, what we'll do is we'll just kind of go through and figure out which ones you guys want to, which ones you like the best.
Okay.
How does that sound?
Okay. Sure. What about you guys? You pick some also?
Yeah, we'll pick a couple as well. Especially the ones that ask, like, what's it like to live with the most manly men?
Yeah, that's the one I was really curious about.
That's what
I had a lot of those questions.
Because I've wondered that.
I needed to prompt that.
I've wondered that for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, what is it like to be my wife? Like, it's got to be incredible.
Yeah. So, why not one of you ladies go first? Ladies first.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So, Haley, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Which one did you like?
You pick yours.
And make sure you say which. Who said it?
This question is from Jonathan Sperling. How important is it to have your husbands be part of a men's group?
Well, I'll go ahead and start. I believe you began your first men's group shortly after we were married.
That's most likely correct.
Yeah.
I think Ken Henderson, Ken Sabbath probably came in right around that time.
Yeah, and it was we were newlyweds. We had a new baby, so it was very kind of daunting at the idea at first. It's like, okay, so you're going to be gone.
All the, like, regularly.
Uh-huh. And, it was a challenge at first, but then started to see the fruits of it as time kind of went on. And from what I gather at the men's groups, it's being able to be held accountable by these men who are invested in your life and invested in in your spiritual journey. And so I think it really has kind of spilled over into our family life. And I know that you gain, you know, ideas from other men in these groups that what they're doing with their families and their wives that have helped you. And so.
And I think accountability from men for men is way different than accountability from me for you. Like, it might be more like nagging if it comes from me or something. But
yeah, I mean, you're right. I've never thought about that. It is definitely different.
Because I keep you accountable to things, different things than the guys do.
And your accountability is probably the strongest accountability, you know? Like, if you're reminding me again to do something, then I'm probably going to do it more immediately, you know? But I don't, but you're right. It's just different. It depends on what the thing is.
Right. And like, I think also
if Adam was telling me to unload the dishwasher, I probably wouldn't care what he said.
Right.
Or other things.
I can remember right after we went to one of our first men's groups and I came back home and Haley said, I'm really glad you went. It seemed like that you're in a better mood. You're in better spirits. You know, you just seem like you're in a better place.
Yes.
And I thought,
absolutely.
Okay, good deal. So when we get back, we'll continue talking with our wives on the Catholic Man Show. We will be right back.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, here with Adam Minahan, Lady Pamela, and Lady Haley in the house.
Thank you, Lord David.
Yes.
How many times this is a dream come true.
How many times did you guys practice that before you came over?
Yeah. None. I've just been trying to get her to, like, you know, you watch Downton Abbey, and you know they call people Lord so and so and Lady so and so, and I asked
Sir
Pamela
David.
a long time ago.
He's requested it before.
Yeah, I was like, look, if you call me Lord David, I'll call you Lady Pamela. Just know that's, and she just hadn't. I don't know why she hadn't gone for it until just now, babe.
Well,
God, I love you.
You unloaded the dishwasher tonight, didn't you?
No, actually, I didn't. But I did last night and loaded.
Pamela, you wanted to tie that last question up with a bow.
Yeah, so another thing I would say about men's groups, I think more importantly, I don't know if there's another question about this, but just friendship with other men, I think is just really important. Like, I don't want to be his only, yes, I want to be his best friend, but I don't want to be his only best friend. I don't know. You need some camaraderie to do guy things in a healthy way with, you know, like-minded people. And but also, one of the more important things I wanted to say was that it's a good prayer group for you. I can pray for you, you know, how I pray for you and for what you need, and you can tell me that. But I think you can share on a different level, you know, with other guys, because they are more in your shoes than
and
I am.
I'll echo that, because I remember either during Crescillo or something, Pamela wrote me a letter, and she, like, right after you guys had gotten married, and, like, it was probably one of the most touching letters that I've received, because she actually mentioned that. She was talking about, like, I am so thankful. You know, you guys are just married. It was like newlyweds, and she was like, I am so thankful that, you know, you are part of my husband's life. So that way you guys are, you know, together and they have a good friendship and you can grow together in Christ. And I was like, you know, that, anyway, that was awesome. So I think, because it was one of those things you realize, like, she realized that this is a bigger picture, that we're not competing or battling for each other's attention. It was more of, we're all trying to help each other. Okay. Let's go. We have a lot of questions.
Yeah,
let's try to keep going.
Let's see. We were actually talking about this last night, Pamela and I, and I feel like she does a very good job with this. How do you encourage your children to choose in and own their faith?
Who asked that one?
Oh, I'm sorry. Anthony.
Mayoko.
Okay.
Mayoko.
Well, at this point, they don't really have a choice.
Mm-hmm. They live
kind
in
of
our...
like you have to eat the vegetables, right. Kind of like
but
that sort of thing.
How are you fostering that for the future?
Right.
You do, I could feel like you.
I've really been into is just like Catholic art, just like mm-hmm. surrounding your environment with this Catholicity. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Okay. Catholicity.
Mm-hmm. I was like thinking about it in mm-hmm. my head, and I couldn't think of another word, so. Just everywhere, you know, holy water, and we recently got an image of the Angelus by Rembrandt. Yes. Anyways, and okay. So that's been nice because it's like right by our table. I'm like, oh, let's pray the Angelus. And so then we stop during lunch and pray the Angelus. A lot of our books that we have are saints and, you know, Catholic and just mm-hmm. like always talking about the true, the good, and the beautiful. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And also for us, just making our faith something that our kids can see we enjoy and brings us joy, and our community is part of our faith journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, you know. I think it's super important to make sure like to bring your faith into the home without it being weird.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah.
Because like I remember there were times where
you can force it.
You can force it, and it's like this.
It comes off fake.
It very fake, but if you can just figure out ways to live liturgically mm-hmm. without it being weird, like no. This is just part of what we do as a family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not this is I'm forcing the faith down your mm-hmm. throat.
Right.
Yeah. I think that if you just do the Catholic stuff that you like. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then it will come off naturally. Because mm-hmm. if you just like, I'm going to put a Catholic painting here just because I want to.
We don't have one anywhere else.
Right, yeah. Then that's just not going to work as well as if right. you mm-hmm. find the parts of the faith that inspire you the most mm-hmm. and present those to your children. I think that's a much more fruitful way.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And if they see you talking to God and they see you talking to our mm-hmm. Blessed Mother and they notice that this is something you're doing that you need.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you're
and
living.
It's different than other things you
right,
do.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so you can't fully live that faith in front of your kids unless you know it. Mm-hmm. And you have to be confident, I feel like, because they mm-hmm. really sense that mm-hmm. your confidence in something that is so valuable to you.
Yeah. And it's just incorporating everything, mm-hmm. I think, into the faith.
Mm hmm.
Yeah. All things, you
like,
know.
We live Catholic.
Everything mm-hmm. you do has, you know, you can talk about if you're doing math or if you're doing whatever, you can bring it back to Jesus or...
mm-hmm. Count holy cards.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's another question from @D_dog86.
All right.
Is that how you say that?
He asks, how has the show changed us? Meaning Dave and I. So how has the show changed Dave and I? I'd be interested to hear both of your thoughts on this.
I'm not sure. When did you guys start the show?
Three.
I think Elizabeth
was
like
3 years ago.
Yeah,
so
2016.
We weren't even married 2 years yet. Just about, but not yet. So I don't know. I'd say you get really excited to like do the research for whenever you prepare an episode, and that's really cool because then you share it with me and I wouldn't necessarily do that research.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, neither would I.
I don't know. What do you think?
Yes, I agree with that completely because as he's doing research, it prompts questions, you know, when he's discussing and, you know, kind of going through the topics, it has brought on really great... I believe conversations with mm-hmm. us mm-hmm. and
not only like Dave and I but all four of us because mm-hmm. when we eat dinner together as mm-hmm. it's like Dave will realize hey we there's this virtue I've not even thought about
mm-hmm.
and we have this we have a conversation about it
right and it challenges
cool.
us which mm-hmm. I think is great for you know
yeah
like I know about the virtue of magnificence now.
Mm-hmm.
Giving
and
away
magnanimity,
giving
or
away
backbiting, mm-hmm. or that's not a virtue.
That's
but
a vice.
Yeah. I did not know about that actually mm-hmm. until we brought that up.
Yeah, yeah. Dave, why don't you get one?
Okay, I like. How do you support your husband? This is from Andre Scasta, 91. How do you support your husbands in order for them to be strong Catholic men?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Yeah, I really like this question. I think encouraging them to mm-hmm. lead your family and trusting them to lead your family and showing that you trust. Mm-hmm. I feel like if you, a lot of the times, and especially when you're a young mother, you're making a lot of decisions for the children and you're all day long making decisions for the kids. And it's nice to come home, for him to come home and take over and be the head and me not have to worry about, mm-hmm. you know, making some of those and mm-hmm. and showing him that I have confidence that you're taking care of our family. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think that builds them up.
Yeah. And that absolutely does. Because what mm-hmm. it does is it empowers me, you know, knowing that mm-hmm. my wife is going to say, hey, I understand what you're saying and let's go with it as a family. You know, mm-hmm. that, like, it's the respect aspect. It's like she respects and trusts me to say, like, whatever you, you know, let's come to a decision together. But whatever you end up saying is what we'll do as a family. It empowers me to say, like, okay, yes, let's I'm going to take on this role. I'm going to take it on.
Yeah.
Which is super.
I agree. I mean, just from like my side of this question, you know, Pamela's really good at making sure that my role as the father of the house is honored.
Right. And respected.
Know. Because
men because want respect.
The mother could easily cut down the dad. I mean, mm-hmm. like,
yes.
A mom can definitely do that. Mm-hmm. Withdraw the respect in the minds mm-hmm. of the children.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dad forgot to take out the trash
yeah.
or
right,
something.
Exactly. Yeah. If you're always like, oh, he forgot again, you know, right. or he's always, you know, because they hear everything right. that's mm-hmm. said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it weakens our men, mm-hmm. I yeah. feel like, and just cuts down their confidence.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would say prayer. Probably in the last year, I've really been with my kids, which they're all girls, and so I don't know. It's special because, like, daddy, you know, I don't. It's yeah. probably different with boys.
That's true. Like, mm-hmm. I'm the king.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
And they keep telling me, "Mom, did you forget you're the queen?" It's like, no, I remember him.
Yeah. I don't ever forget
Dad's
that.
The king. But like, whenever we pray, we always pray for daddy, and I think that's really important that they know I'm praying for him and that they mm-hmm. know that that's part of our job. Dad's job is to go to work. Our job is to pray for dad. So that's one thing that we really try to do. Also, kind of like you were saying, Haley, just like it's hard as a young mother to let your husbands go to men's group, you know, mm-hmm. once a month, twice a month.
When we're in a couple
six,
of them.
Six yeah. times a month.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But I just have to remember, like, this is good for him and it's good for our family and it'll be great.
Yeah.
So giving him the opportunity to serve, I get the opportunity to serve by letting you do those things that you need to do to be a man.
Boom.
Amen. Mm.
In between breaks, we had a question asked, how many times does Dave say ecce homo at home? So we'll
maybe
have
one time a day.
don't ruin it. We'll be right back. Oh. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. Sitting here with our beautiful brides for the first time. No.
Yes, yay!
The first kiss on the Catholic Man Show.
Dude, I'm pretty sure Juan has kissed you before on the Catholic Man Show.
Rude.
Okay.
I don't know. I'd have to think about that.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't on the lips if it was.
Okay, so we're
and probably not consensual.
So we had a bunch of people ask us questions.
In fact, Juan was watching a second ago. He was on Facebook Live.
Hi, Juan.
He was.
We miss you.
We do miss you, Juan.
What time is it there?
It's like
9 hours.
It's like terrible o'clock or
yeah,
something.
Terrible yeah. o'clock.
Well, it's like early morning, I guess.
Yeah.
Very early.
So I had people ask us questions for this episode. I'm gonna start this question. I'm gonna actually answer answer it first and then let you guys go after me. So Ryan O'Hanlon asks, what's an embarrassing quirk about your husband? And this, I mean, there's so many things.
There's not enough time.
Yeah, there's not enough time.
So are you going to say one about her?
No, I'm going to say one that, about me.
That's not what this show is about.
No, that I just like continue doing. So when we're driving up and we're pulling into a parking lot, I have this, I do this thing where I don't let her know which parking spot we're going to pick. So I'm pulling into this parking lot. There's multiple parking spots available, right? And at one point, there may be a parking spot that's in front as well open. And so I will bypass multiple parking spots where she's like, what are you doing?
That was a good one.
That was a good one. And I like, and then I'll slowly pull into one and kind of like almost act like that I'm about to stop and then roll just a little mm-hmm. bit forward into the next one, throwing it into park.
Sure. And then at times you will even hint that you're going to turn into the spot. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Not soon enough.
Throw some fakes in.
Keep her on her toes.
Yeah.
Every time?
Almost.
Keep her guessing. Yes. I like it.
Yes. Almost every time that we park.
Just when you think you know me, I'm in the west. I'm in the west.
Yeah. So that's one that I think that I'm not sure if that's one you would say, but
no. When I read this question, I wasn't sure what to think about it because you know obviously there's you could say the same about me. You probably know me better
you don't
than
have
I know
very
myself.
Many quirks is the thing.
That could be true.
Yeah. But, you know, when we were first married, I got some great advice from Mother Miriam that had helped, you know, and it has, you know, throughout our marriage. But she had said, never expose your husband to be anything other than saintly in front of other people, especially. And so I kind of read this question. I was like, does that kind of...
And someone even said, this is borderline gossip. And I thought,
really?
Good, we don't have to answer that question.
Oh, okay.
On the Facebook.
They did?
On Facebook,
but I was thinking about, and so
a woman said it, and, you know, we know.
Yeah.
But we know.
A quirk, I would say maybe a cute quirk about my husband.
Yeah, they're all cute, all of them.
Is he really downplays how intelligent he is. And it's like
that's not true.
Every time, you know, you guys have an intellectual on the show or somebody who is, or he's, you know, talking with someone through a text message, which I won't say any names, but we
hashtag
know.
Thomas Lackey.
Well,
yeah, I know. And
of course. Yeah.
Just, you know, and he'll always, I can see him shaking his head and I'm just not that smart.
That's true.
You're just not that educated.
Edumacated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or disciplined.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't have quirks as much as I just have, like, serious character flaws. like deep down.
See, the quirks I was thinking about really have nothing to do with your character.
Oh, okay.
Well, maybe. Actually. You can link it to something.
Okay, so like, let me tell you this. I was on a retreat this last weekend. One of the things was that there was the biggest jar of peanut M&Ms I'd ever seen in my life. Okay?
Oh, my.
And I guarantee you that I ate 2 or 3 times as much as the next guy. Whoever is in second place in the peanut M&M eating contest.
Wow.
I smoked him. Here's why. Okay, I had my own little bowl. Like, you know what? This is what I'm going to have today. I'm just going to have... this much. People kept coming and dumping their bowls into my bowl. The problem was that I had already
color coordinated.
Yes, I had arranged my M&Ms in Roy G. Biv. They all had their own pie slice of my bowl.
Who does that?
Okay, and not only that, I had 2 of each color. And then you come and just dump your peanut
OCD to the max
into my bowl. Okay, and it's like, all right, fine, I can fix it.
They are testing you.
I will fix this.
No big deal.
Hurry, eat them all.
But then it's like, now I have 5 orange ones and only 3 green ones. So I clearly need to eat 2 orange ones. So you can see why I just had to keep eating the M&Ms.
This is too much.
You see why that's a problem?
And I was telling him, it's a good thing they all at least taste the same. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, unlike Skittles or something. Yeah. That would have been bad for you.
There's many things.
That would be bad.
I count them all as I'm quite the opposite of Adam in this way, because I count them all as marks of intelligence. anyway, I'm just going to pick a new question.
ask Father James Porter's question. Mm-hmm. That was a good one.
What Christian virtues do you think all women and families ought to have in today's culture?
Hmm. All of them. Hmm. That's my answer.
Yeah.
I think a boldness and patience.
Yeah. Boldness.
Ooh.
You have to be bold. Like,
totally.
To wear skirts all the time or something. Mm-hmm. I mean,
to be Christian out in public.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. To do the sign of the cross, you mm-hmm. know. I mean, that's.
Uh huh. Yeah, because.
Just a small example.
We pray, you know, when we go to restaurants. I can't tell you when the last time I mm-hmm. saw somebody else praying at a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you guys?
Not that
it's been forever.
It's been a while,
probably. Forever.
Really, a long time.
Go to restaurants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or and even then, in your own faith community, like, we do some things that, you know, the guy in the next pew, he and his family don't do. Like, staying sure. after Mass is over and praying or something.
Yeah.
We're, like, trying not to chat with people
mm-hmm. like,
before
I feel
you're
like
out in the commons.
Not eating meat on Friday is, mm-hmm. is really gaining traction in the broader community. Right. Yeah. Because it's actually still something we're supposed to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think you need to have a boldness. Also, I think a woman needs patience. You need patience for all the virtues. Yeah. Patience to love. Mm-hmm. Patience to be yeah. generous. Wait for the right time.
Be charitable, you know, mm-hmm. and always seeing the good in others mm-hmm. and in your children, because there's mm-hmm. times where, frankly,
that is hard.
That
yeah.
is
you just want to spank them.
Mm.
I'm going to spank the good right out of you.
Mother Angelica, I think, actually said that boldness should be the 11th commandment.
Mm.
Ooh, wow. Babe.
There you go.
I told
Did
you.
Not even know
All
that.
My best yeah. ideas.
Yeah, and at this age, with, you know, the boys especially, they're seeing, you know, they're interacting more with our neighbors who aren't Catholic and are good kids. But at the same time, we don't, you know, I have to explain, you know, we do things differently,
mm-hmm.
and that's okay. And they seem to just, you know, accept mm-hmm. that. And
right.
I think from a young age, hopefully they'll keep that up.
But. Right.
What about this question? From Elizabeth Schroeder. I want to know more about praying together as a couple. How does it impact your daily life? Practical suggestions for how to get started and what types of prayers or ways of praying do you currently find most efficacious?
We had a lot of questions about really? Our prayer routines, prayer life together. How do we do that as a family? So that's a good one. Why don't we let you guys go first, because we're going to hit a break here in a little bit. So we'll let you guys go first, and then maybe on the other side of the break, we'll pick up ours.
Okay. Do you mind if I start off as Please. The leader of our prayer life?
Please do.
And then you can come in and say the important stuff. So our prayer life is largely structured.
Our together prayer life.
Mm-hmm. My prayer life as an individual is largely structured. And that's maybe even it's as a couple, maybe it's even too structured. But I incorporate things, or I would count things in our prayer life other than just praying, you know, like I give her a blessing a couple times a day, you know, before I leave for work and, mm-hmm. After we all pray as a family before bed. And I count prayer for each other, even when we're not with each other. I mean, maybe I shouldn't, maybe that's not part of her question, you
no.
know, but,
yeah.
We have some devotions that we pray together.
Mm-hmm.
How awkward was it at first to pray? Because that's, I think, to start mm-hmm. praying together may be awkward for people. Was it awkward for you guys?
Well, you know what? One of the questions was, did you kind of come start dating at the same, like, faith level or prayer, you know, intensity or whatever? And I'd say we kind of did. And so I knew that he was a man of prayer. He knew that I was a man of prayer. And we just...
A woman of prayer.
Yes. And
words are hard. We yeah. say that on the show. Words
hard.
Are hard.
They're so hard.
I know. So we just have always incorporated prayer. I will tell you, we used to read a lot more scripture together than we do now.
Yeah.
But see, we have a problem that we just like fall asleep during our prayer sometimes, which is a beautiful thing about praying together is that one of us manages to stay awake, and so that's
it is.
Nice.
And finish it up.
Yeah,
that's
so we do this devotion that you say these prayers for 12 years,
This
St. Bridget?
Yeah,
Bridget.
By St. Bridget. There's another St. Bridget devotion that's different. This is the 12-year one.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We're halfway. We're over halfway now. Oh, but one of us...
Can I be one of the people?
You don't need it. You don't need it.
That's rude.
I've got people who need it more. Put it that way.
It's true.
That's a bummer.
Anyway, one of us will very often fall asleep, but almost never both of us.
Yeah. Almost never.
Yeah. But we'll talk about this more.
Okay.
On the other side of the break.
Sounds good. We're here with our wives on the Catholic Man Show. You're listening either on radio or podcast, YouTube, Facebook. I don't know what else. Whatever you're listening to. The Beatific Vision.
Wow.
St. Thomas Aquinas. Nice. Hang on. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles. This beautiful woman here beside me is my wife, Pamela. Pamela, I'd like to dedicate this episode to you.
Thank you.
And my love for you.
I'll dedicate this episode to you. Am I allowed to do that,
honey?
Yes, I will allow it.
Huge eye roll.
Your turn.
I'll dedicate my life to you, babe.
Mm,
not
I like
just
that.
The episode.
Yeah, that's cheesy. Cheesy. Just kidding. It's better.
Okay, let's finish up. So
okay, so one thing really that I wish was better about our prayer life is that we would do more spontaneous prayer. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I always like it when we do that. The problem is that we fall asleep. Usually one of us, well, not usually, very often, one of us is down for the count. And we're terrible at getting to bed on time. Mm-hmm. Anyway,
and, also, I think... If we got up at the same time, I think we could more easily like add to our couple together praying.
Yeah.
But I don't get up that early.
Mm-hmm. And you don't need to, babe.
I'm not willing to. At this point in my life, anyways.
Yeah. You guys, prayer life, go.
The biggest thing, I'll start out and let Haley add all the substance, but the biggest thing in our prayer life, I think, was whenever we added the prayer do right by our bed.
Mm, yeah.
Because
that's a win.
It gave us the, like, no, we're not getting in bed until we pray. So, you see it, you can't escape the prayer.
You feel guilty if you're not at that prayer.
There's a kind of guilt there. Yeah, mm-hmm. But if you realize like, no, I need to be praying. You know, I need to pray with my wife. So it's a visual reminder before bed of, let's get in bed and then maybe we can pray and...
Mm-hmm. And fall asleep.
And fall asleep like unholy people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It does help to stay awake, though.
It does, because totally. It keeps you awake.
It does, yeah.
And we have the... our prayer do at the foot of our bed, and we have a crucifix right above our bed. So I think that is
the environment,
mm-hmm. and being intentional, like have an intentional space for us to pray together, has been such a huge benefit to us as a couple, our prayer life together.
Yeah, and also just having the vulnerability, especially early in our marriage, since I was a new Catholic. I mean, and I was. Not coming from a faith background, it took a lot of courage, I think, for Adam to come to me and say, I think we need to do this. Mm-hmm. And it was little things, and especially if you have a spouse or you're dating somebody who maybe their prayer life isn't as structured or strong as yours, I think it takes a lot of courage and, a huge feeling of vulnerability to be able to say, no, this is going to help us. Mm-hmm. This is going to strengthen our relationship with each other, but more importantly, with Christ. Mm-hmm. And Adam did that right off the bat. And, not having that formation, I think slowly over time it helped to increase my confidence.
Yeah, and I think some of the things that I did there was like, hey, let's have a family patron saint. and that gives us something to pray. Like there's a prayer for most patron saints have prayers, you know, specific to that person. So it's like, hey, we're gonna have a family patron saint, so we'll pray this together. That's one that was like a very easy one to incorporate within our prayer life. Mm-hmm. Another one was the prayer, the goodnight to our blessed mother that we pray. We've prayed that for years. Mm-hmm. And I actually tag that at the end of all of our episodes. So if you go back to our episodes and look at our show notes, I actually add that to all of them. It's a beautiful prayer. And we pray that together every night as well. So the pray do, I think, is a big thing. And then just like having things that are specific to your family that you say, nope, this is what we're going to do together. You know, this is something that is part of our family. So this is part of the prayer life as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And so if you're getting started, men, it's your job. You should be the one leading the prayer.
Even if it's awkward, because it's going to be awkward when anytime it's an intimate situation. But
it doesn't have to be. I think you might feel awkward about it, but
it's not as awkward as what it is.
Start off with saying, let's pray in our Father. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's not weird to pray in our Father together with somebody. Maybe if the person, like, if you're dating somebody who's an atheist, maybe that would be awkward. But also, like, maybe don't date an atheist. You know, also a thing. Right. For women, though, I think it's difficult. I think there's a lot of women out there who wish, and they yearn for their husband or the person that they're dating, that maybe, you know, it's very serious, whatever. They wish that they would be willing, the leader.
That they would be willing and that they would be the leader.
Right, because it's kind of a conundrum. If you have to ask them to lead them in prayer, are they really the one leading leading the prayer?
It could be the snowball, though. It could be the beginning of the snowball.
Mm-hmm. Right.
In fact, like, you're asking about spontaneous prayer. You're saying, like, I wish we would have more spontaneous prayer. If Haley said, hey, we should pray right now. In fact, Luke, just the other day, blew my mind. We were having, like, it was kind of a hectic day. We were all kind of not feeling it. We were under the weather. We weren't feeling very well. It was a busy day. And Luke kind of... Our oldest kind of caught the vibe of the evening, and he said, we should pray night prayer together. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, that is...
Like from the Liturgy of the Hours?
Yeah, he just said night prayer together. And so I don't think he meant Liturgy of the Hours. He probably meant our night prayers that we pray together.
Yeah. But I was going to be really impressed if...
No, but he just like, he had this sense of like, there's disorder in the family. Mm-hmm. So thus... We should pray together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And those are the things that trickle down to your kids whenever you have this ordered prayer. Then they realize that something is ordered within the family. Mm-hmm. The dad is leading. The mom is right there beside them. And the kids are there praying together. Yeah. So they realize that, okay, this is what we should do in times of stress or, you know, things that, that aren't okay.
Yeah.
So I think that right there is like, nope, if the wife says, hey, we should pray together, I think that's a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm.
Dad, I really think we should pray Compline.
Yeah.
Just throwing it out there.
Vespers is right now.
Dad. It's kind of your job, but I think
we should. I'll pick up the slack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's time for night prayer.
But JP2 says that every person in the family has a responsibility and a duty to help the family get to heaven.
Yeah.
Which I think is a beautiful thing if you think about it. You know, every person within the family, if we're all together, you know, we're the domestic church, we all have a role to pray to play to get each other to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
I talked way too much there.
We were going to do another one, but I want to do this one. How does your wife make you a better Catholic? How do you help them on their spiritual journey as well? I know that my wife, Pamela, has made me a much better Catholic, just because there were things that you encouraged me to make a priority, like, and things like not shopping on Sunday, you know, in my mind that was always, oh, that's kind of the ideal. But when it came down to it, actually making the decision to not go to the store on Sunday, you know, even though I need something from Lowe's. Mm-hmm. It was always kind of like, well, that's the ideal, but it's just, I need,
not practical.
I need this, you know, I'm trying to work on it. But then Pamela would encourage, she would, if I go to Lowe's, she's not like she's going to judge me. God might, but Pamela won't. But she would still say, for her own things that she needed. Mm-hmm. You know, God, we really need bread, but it's Sunday, so we're not. And so that little things that she does like that are constant reminders for me. Mm-hmm. She's just a better Catholic than I am. So
that's what I say all the time. Haley's only been a Catholic since 2012. She received 5 sacraments in 2 months, mm-hmm. which was epic. But she's a way better Catholic than I am, and I've been a cradle Catholic my whole life. I think that she's helped me immensely. Just like the things that I take for granted, like okay. You know, there's guys think like let's get to Mass, let's make sure we pray before we say our checking boxes. You know, but she's the one that's always like no, let's incorporate more prayer, let's incorporate like what we're doing, let's be intentional about it. Mm-hmm. So she makes me a better Catholic. Mm-hmm. But
thanks, ladies.
That way.
Okay.
Thank you.
So then we have this question from Saint Stephen, Stephen Hull.
This is a very important question.
This might be
possibly the most important.
This might be the most profound question I've ever heard.
Mm-hmm. Actually, many people ask this version of the question.
The people
want to
know.
The people want to know.
What's it like being married to the manliest Catholic men on the planet? I'll tell you, Pamela, I've often wondered this myself.
It's terrific.
I knew it. That's what I thought.
I love being married to you, and it's awesome.
I love being married to you.
Oh, come Should on kiss now.
Okay.
Oh, I guess it's my
Haley?
Turn.
Haley?
Oh.
Silence from the other side of the table.
Holy silence.
Oh, it's not good.
It is pretty fantastic.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can respond with one adjective mm-hmm. like I did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do enjoy it.
I think the biggest part is like making sure we're all on the same page. You know, as a family, it's like, listen, okay, if we're going to lead our family to heaven, here's the roles that we all have to take, which are all important to get us all to heaven. So mm-hmm. to distinguish, like, here's what I'm going to do, here's what you're going to do, here's what the kids should do, all being on the same page, like to get our family to heaven, because that's the most important thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And we've said this on the show before, having authority is not for ourselves, but we have authority to use it for the benefit of others. So it's important to be communicating with your wife so that you can say, what do you need from me so that I can be the best leader for our family? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's something you need to do regularly.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So the show is ended, but we will continue just for a few minutes, answer a few more questions. You can check that out on YouTube or the social medias. Ladies, thank you so much for hanging out with us this evening.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
For the wife.
Oh.
And we obviously, you know, being put on the spot without having the opportunity to think about it is not easy. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
We got this great book at the Confraternity of Christian Mothers, the Blue Book, that has some great spiritual reading on motherhood,
child
and on
rearing.
Your role, child rearing, and also just tons of great prayers.
Mm-hmm. That confraternity also has some really sweet, graces attached to it.
And I encourage look it up if there's any, you know, in your diocese or nearby. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It has been
look up
a
starting
huge blessing.
One.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I forget what it is, but anytime you do something like a motherly thing, you
like correct your child with charity or something. Mm-hmm.
It's as if you did something like you were a martyr or something. It's like, it's something pretty sweet. I remember thinking like, that's pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. Get a lot of opportunity.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So much grace.
So much.
So much.
I'm trying to think about the books that I've read.
What about the Martin book that you did?
Yeah. I mean, I'm reading the biography of the Martin family, St. Therese and her parents and her siblings. I'm only halfway through it, and I've been reading it for a little while, but it is really good because, like, especially Saint Zelie, she was, like, pretty regular. I mean, obviously she was a saint and holy, but she was a mother. She had one of her kids was, like, kind of difficult to raise,
And I just read about her trip to Lourdes because St. Zelie had breast cancer. And so, you know, they went to Lourdes for healing and stuff. And, like, all these things went wrong on their trip. Like, she, like, slipped into the tub, kind of, and, mm-hmm. and then, like, just got out immediately. And, like, all their clothes got coffee poured on them on the train. And her dress ripped. And they had to have different room accommodations. Anyways, it's like, that's something that would happen to me, you know?
Yes.
But then just, like, you know, reading about, I don't know, just she and her husband's relationship.
An incredibly difficult and, like, tragic.
Yeah,
like,
and they lost all these four children.
That died young, yeah.
One of their children was not an infant when she died. She was, like, probably four or five. And one of their children starved to death.
Because she had breast cancer and couldn't breastfeed
and couldn't
find anybody to nurse the kid.
Mm-hmm. So it's not like they just got sick and died. It was like, oh my gosh. So anyways, that's been a good read.
It's been very uplifting.
But, you know, she has all these letters that they're quoting to, like, her sister-in-law and her brother, and just like, well, this is God's plan, and I hope I can die well, and I want to die, but I want to finish fulfilling my duties as a mother, you know, and just like regular things, and it's encouraging.
Mm-hmm. It seems like she was someone who took the vocation of motherhood perfectly. Like, she understood it exactly the way it was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And she went all out.
And yeah, exactly. Was committed to it, and she everything that was required of her.
She was,
you know?
Yeah.
I have a question for you, girl. For you, actually, Sean Finn has a question for you, for you ladies. What is something men think they need to do for you or the family, but in reality, doesn't really matter?
I read that question somewhere, and I was thinking, really? I feel like I have an answer for the opposite question. Like, what is something that maybe they don't do, but it's like, I would always love it if you did that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And what was that?
Reverse
and really,
it.
I think it has to do with your love language.
I was going to bring up love languages.
Which, since being married, mine has changed.
Yeah.
Mine is acts of service. So, like, if David ever does the dishes, like, that's awesome. When he folds a lunch, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So, you can't do too much of that kind of thing. But I'm not sure if I really have an answer for his question.
I don't
like
either.
I wonder if he's thinking, like, do you want us to open doors? And it's like,
yes.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he's kind of asking that sort of thing.
Yeah, he's asking, like, is it a big deal to open doors, or is
or
it
like
big...
that he wants me to stay home? Like, well, that's fine because I also want to stay home and, you know, raise the kids as opposed to like working full time or something.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and I think you're right. Love languages is huge. Words of affirmation. Noticing that I'm, you know, working all day while you're at work also, you know, things are getting done here also. And just hearing Adam coming home and, you know,
making the comment, the house looks nice.
Yeah.
That, you know, right after you vacuum or something. Yeah.
That, you know, he has socks, you know, in the drawer every morning, or boxers, which doesn't always happen, but I mean... More often than
underrated.
Not, I
it's
think.
Overrated.
No one will know.
Yeah, so, you know, just things like that, and telling me I look beautiful, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the 7-year itch question, or the 7-year hurdle, whatever, however they put it.
Yeah.
Knowing your spouse's love language is crucial. So Pamela and I are on the Catholic Engaged Encounter team, you know, so we help lead couples who are engaged through this retreat to help them get ready for marriage and stuff. And one of the things that we do is we do this love language segment, and having, like, the way this guy, it's a video we play, the guy with the biggest southern drawl you've
ever
heard.
Gary Chapman. Gary?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, it's his book. He's the video.
You know, he knows you want the bedroom painted. Anyway.
And he's got an accent.
Yeah. So anyway, he talks all about keeping your spouse's love tank full. And it sounds kind of cheesy, but actually, it's if you can know what your spouse's love language is, like, if they don't really care about receiving gifts, if that's not what speaks to them, don't waste your time doing it. Or if they do appreciate gifts and they're not really big on acts of service, well, you know, that's good to know. You know, just get them something small, because that's Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be like a car, you know?
Well, and I think a lot of it has to do with also making sure making sure that not only like I appreciate things, but that our children also appreciate mm-hmm. them. Mm-hmm. You know, like I've said this before on the show, but we don't have a dinner where the kids do not say thank mm-hmm. you to their mother for mm-hmm. cooking dinner yeah. that evening. You know, making sure that, like, you
because they're going to copy whatever you do.
Right, yes, so you lead by example. Yeah. I mean, it's getting to the point where it's, like, kind of ridiculous. It's like, as soon as we set down the food at the table, it's like, thank you for dinner, Mom. Dad, how was your day? And it's like, listen, we haven't even sat down yet. Give me a second.
Wait, it needs to be more natural.
Yeah, it's like they are... Like,
you're doing it wrong, kids.
They're ingrained, you know. But, you know, it is super important for mm-hmm. to teach your kids how to be grateful
mm-hmm. yeah.
for what they have.
And also one thing I've noticed, if I just focus on loving David the best that I can love him, I forget that, you know, sometimes I might feel not as loved or whatever. My love tank might not be full.
That's so true.
But I don't think about that when I'm just focused on loving David more. So mm-hmm. that's helpful for me, like, you know, whatever. But I try to give him the energy, and then I just kind of forget that I'm having all these like pity parties or whatever. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, okay. Absolutely.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of people who say like to get out of depression, you know, is to start thinking about other people more. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is different.
That's
clinical
different.
Depression. Yeah, yeah, it's different.
It's
from
a huge right.
being depressed.
Right.
Yeah.
I was just.
Yeah. Of course. You have to say.
I agree.
People are going to email us if we don't.
I agree. I have one more that I really want to ask, but do you have one that you want to ask before we close up shop? Was there one that like jumped out at you, Dave? Or
I think the dating one. Someone, Brian Spears.
Ooh. Okay, yeah.
Oh yeah.
How does your wife?
Best tips for those.
Just kidding.
Just sorry, starting Brian. To date for the first time.
Okay.
Right here. Yeah. Rossi Nossi.
I think this is pretty obvious, but if you don't think you're going to marry them, just don't date them. Right.
That is that is great advice.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I tell you what, like the older I get, the more crotchety I get about this kind of thing. But
get
like,
off my lawn. Like,
dating in high school is stupid.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Yeah.
Are you ready to get married? No. Don't date.
Some people get married right after high school and that works out.
Okay. That's fine.
I'm just saying.
But what
you're
going to
get emails.
Is you can be friends, mm-hmm. but having a formal,
right.
official dating relationship. I mean, if you are ready to get married, okay, then date. You know, like, if you have your life put together in high school, go for it. I doubt mm-hmm. you do.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what I think. But I know it's not a popular opinion, and it was not my opinion in high school at all. You know, but the older I get, like I said...
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little bit more like, crotchety about
it
all now.
What is the end to things that we do?
The purpose mm-hmm. of dating is marriage. And I used to say, oh, well, it's important to date in high school so that you know how to do it well. You can practice. The thing is, that's not what's happening in high school. You're not dating well. All you're doing is dating poorly. You're making a bunch of dating mistakes and mm-hmm. forming dating habits, you know, and it's just bad. Don't do it. Dads. Be bold.
Yeah, be bold. Take a stand.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, wait, is there anything else you want?
But dating tips.
Dating tips.
Receive.
That is what made me fall in love. It's one of the things that made me fall in love with her.
As a woman, we are created to receive. So like there's, you know, I like this guy or whatever. I've got his phone number. I'm not going to text him because I'm just going to receive. If he wants to text me or whatever, that's fine, but...
Don't go chasing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I swooned when she told me that was her motto.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only time I've ever done that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weird feeling.
Can you give us an example?
Yeah. Yeah. Can you reenact it?
No.
Okay. I just wanted to...
Good question.
Mm-hmm. I thought you may actually bite at that.
No.
But you did not.
No. Mm-hmm. But dating tips... if you're Catholic, date another Catholic. I think... I cannot emphasize this enough. I know that you can date a non-Catholic. You know, it's like, oh, well, she's a good Christian or he's a good Christian. You might have a great dating relationship. A marriage will be different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. there will be things about, you know, and I know, like, you guys, you know, Haley, you weren't Catholic. Mm-hmm. And so there's always that. People are going to always say that exception. You know, well, you know, whatever. My spouse converted and now everything's great. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't count on that.
Right. You can't count on that. And if maybe you do start dating someone and if they're not open to converting, mm-hmm. I'm just going to say that.
As a rule, I think that's accurate. There are exceptions.
You should expect mm-hmm. to marry another Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not
for the sake of your future children.
So for me, when Haley and I were dating, Haley was not baptized at all when we first started dating. Mm-hmm. So she was unchurched.
Yeah, and growing up more agnostic, you know, just. Yeah.
It was just kind of a non-issue, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But I made things very when I realized like things were kind of progressing, dating wise, mm-hmm. and things were getting a little bit more serious. I made it very clear: this is how I envision the family. This is how I envision raising mm-hmm. our children.
Mm-hmm. Expectations.
This is what I propose moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is what I expect. You know, raising a family.
Yeah.
So that way, there's no like. Oh, we're now married, and you didn't tell me this mm-hmm. beforehand.
Right.
I made it very clear.
Mm-hmm. And I think that happened as you and David moved in together after college and returned to you know, your faith and kind of learning more about it. I was like, oh, man, this seems like, you know, things are mm-hmm. changing. Our relationship is definitely changing because we hadn't, you know, I hadn't seen this side of you before.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, you know, if it's, I'll go and I'll, you know, head to Mass for a few times with him and we'll just kind of see where it goes and see if there's anything to this. And sure enough, mm-hmm. I think 3 years later,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Also, if your wife is going through RCIA, even if you were not her sponsor, go to RCIA with her.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
every time.
Every time. I mean, every time I was there, I was not her RCIA sponsor, but I was there to show her support. And what she's, I mean, this is the biggest thing that she's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So I'm going to be there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I think this might be bad advice. I don't know. I think it's good advice. If you're going on a first date with somebody, I think you should make it clear from the very beginning what your expectations are with dating. This is something that I decided on after it didn't work out with somebody I dated just very briefly. I decided, you know what? From now on, the first date I go on, I'm going to tell them, look, I'm looking for a chaste relationship. I'm looking for, you know, I'm Catholic. I'm looking for someone who can help me pursue holiness as a vocation. And, you know, these are what I'm looking for. And
don't beat around the bush.
Right. And I knew that that might scare some people away. Like, whoa.
That's a little too intense.
Hey, this is just date mm-hmm. number one. Mm-hmm. I just
was hoping to
kind of have a, like, maybe have a nice evening.
Mm-hmm.
But I realized the woman that I'm looking for, when I say these things, she will say, at last. This is, I've been waiting for somebody to say this, you know, like, this is the man I've been looking for, you know, so it was just,
homo.
It was actually just,
Ecce homo.
It's just, you know, like, if it scares them away, great. Now you know now what you would have found out in 3 months or whatever, you know, so it's just get it at, you know, the sooner the better. It's a discernment process. So if this is going to help you discern, mm-hmm. It's a good thing. So. I hope that doesn't ruin any first dates for you, but
I don't remember you saying any of those things.
I did.
I believe you.
Yeah. But the thing was, I already knew those things about you.
You guys knew each other's background.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so here's a question that I had. I'm interested to hear you guys be honest. Be honest. Okay. Sutherland.Ray asks, has the Catholic Man Show helped the wives at all? Have they heard something that would put them, you know, that helped them? Has
like the content of the Catholic Man Show?
Or do you think that like the ministry in general has helped? Because you mm-hmm. know, it's easy for Dave and I to go and we go to Phoenix, you know, every year for the men's conference. That's kind of nice for us, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. in reality because we're flying out. We're going to Phoenix in February, which is a very easy sell. It's very cold here.
70s.
Yeah. It's beautiful there. We don't, you know, it's kind of quote-unquote vacation for us a mm-hmm. little bit. I mean, we still have to do things, but like, so we're catching the easy
Adam,
end.
We know.
Yeah.
We know it's a vacation.
Yeah. You guys catch the...
We're still here.
Yeah, you guys catch the tougher end of that. Like,
well, it sanctifies us, let's mm-hmm. say that.
Sure.
And patience. But you know what? Something I forgot to mention earlier, seeing David do the show, and you guys get a lot of like testimonies from people like, I haven't been to confession in mm-hmm. 20 years or something. And it's just like so amazing. So I think I have been able to see your faith be more dependent on God, and just like really it's in God's hands. Just really like laying it down, and it's an offering instead of like you trying to do it. I think I can see that just through this ministry has helped that.
There have been many episodes that we've did that we both thought that's one of the worst episodes we've ever done.
And we then, almost did not even publish it.
Right. And then those turned out to, you know, be the ones that had like mm-hmm. some miracle, you know,
mm-hmm.
like,
effect.
Not like
somebody.
The actual miracle, but, you
really
know,
good feedback.
But something like what you just said. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'd say as far as like the content goes, I try to listen to the episodes. I'm like, maybe
you don't listen to. You
I'm
listen.
Maybe 5 months behind, and I finally did. Like, you know what? I don't need to listen to the cigar, the Ultimo cigar. You know, I'm not gonna.
Oh, babe, that one is so good.
Well, I skipped that one, and I also skipped. You know, I gotta catch up.
Yeah.
But usually, I always glean something, and a lot of times it's a lot of things, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's cool. Yeah. You know. Especially when you guys have guests on.
Especially when you guys aren't talking. You know what? I learned so much when you guys aren't talking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When you have other people
have
who
other
are doing
people
the talking.
On there,
yeah.
I learned so much.
It is incredible. When
I actually feel the same way. Pamela.
Other people use words. Yeah.
When we have guests, like, I'm like, okay,
I just
listened
to the Carlo Broussard one.
Take a deep breath and let them like, just do their thing.
Good.
Yeah, Carlo Broussard is awesome.
Yeah.
He's underrated as a philosopher.
Yeah.
Agreed. Strongly agreed.
Yeah.
Anything from you, babe?
Yeah, I mean, it can be difficult when, you know, it seems like, you know, you guys are going off and gallivanting around, and there's been some talk about other locations recently, and I'm like, oh, well, that'll be nice for you.
Dave, I haven't even updated you since you've been gone.
It is easy, you know, to throw a pity party while I'm at home and things are not going well. And you
Mayday,
know,
Mayday.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, because you're that's spiritual warfare, like things are happening here and things are getting at me because I know he's doing God's work.
And you're supporting him in that.
Yes. So it is, you know, a sacrifice, but at the same time, you know,
when you know they're camping and it's been raining for 48 hours,
oh,
it's
man.
Like,
yeah, well,
I'm glad I'm not out there.
Yeah.
I had a great time.
Mm-hmm.
I did too, even though my tent was flooded.
Yeah.
Yeah, I talked to you on the phone. Yeah. It was my birthday and he was gone and he called and so is it just like miserable? He was like, no.
No, it's totally fine.
I don't even believe you, but I'm glad that's your answer.
Is there any, I haven't seen any Facebook questions come in a while, but I did see one more in here I was going to ask.
Okay.
Let me find it though.
How about pet peeves? Like how do you get through pet peeves? You know, there's the marriage stage of like learning like, oh, this is how, you know, there's some pet peeves that are happening. Like you do things that that kind of gets on my nerves. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize you did this.
You have to be bold. I don't like confrontation. And early in our marriage, David did something, you know, continued to do something. And I thought, you know what? David loves me. And
are you talking about the cabinet doors?
Yes, the cabinet doors. He likes to leave them open. I mean, he doesn't like to leave them open. He doesn't think about shutting them.
I just do leave them open.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And anyways,
it's
I
like,
don't like
it's like
that.
The sixth
you know,
sense
drawers
in our
need to be closed
sometimes.
All the way. Cabinets uh-huh. need to be closed. And so I realized, like, I know David doesn't really know he's doing this. And I know that David wants to love me the best he can. And he just doesn't know that that is a way he can love. So I told him.
So much
him,
opportunity right here.
So I was like, you know what? It's worth, like, bringing it up because otherwise, you know.
Yeah.
60, 70 years go by and that thing would grow, you know.
Right.
fester.
How about you, honey?
What do you mean?
Pet peeves. How do you get over mine?
Well, you don't have any. He already said.
It's very easy because you don't really have any.
Okay, come on now.
Pamela has one one major one that I still struggle with. Oh. It's like, look, if you are going to be that good looking all the time, like, what do you want from me? What am I supposed to do when you're over there just being
looking good,
like being so hot?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I don't know what I'm supposed to do about it. Okay.
One of the things that I did that I did not even realize until Haley said, kind of like what you're saying, Pamela, like you need to just like talk about it, you know, bring it up. It's another driving thing, which is very interesting.
Oh,
which
yeah,
is very
the car.
Funny.
Yeah. I almost brought this one up.
Yeah. When I get to a stop sign, because I like to win.
A stoplight.
Like, I like to win. And in everything that I do, I want to win.
Mm, you still have not achieved perfection, my friend.
Not yet. But I'm running to win the race. So like when I approach a stoplight, I like slow way down, but I don't actually stop.
I do the slow creep.
I slow roll until it turns green because
only
I'm already
you're in front.
No. Like no. If there's somebody in front of me, like I know I have to, like I'm
you gotta pace yourself.
I'm trying to time the light perfectly. Basically, when the light turns green, that I get to vroom, and I'm off.
How does that work for you?
Well, it works great for me. Actually, I'm very good at it because I've done it since I was 16. however, when I realized that my wife kind of gets motion sick when I'm just slowly creeping.
And you know when you're 8 weeks pregnant or you know right in those times,
and I'm like just barely rolling.
Don't even think about it.
Yeah. And like, would you stop already? Yeah, it's like, would you stop? I was like, I'm just trying to win. Like this guy over here, I think wants to race us in our minivan.
Right.
And I want to win.
Like, look at all of the cars around us. Do you see how they are stopped and still
at the stoplight?
Yeah. But I typically don't. Anyway, that was one thing that
I
realized.
Do your kids say anything about that? Our kids would say something about that.
No, they don't say it other than
they want to win. Also,
if
Mary would be like, turn right on red. You can turn right on red.
Mm-hmm. I've got a lot of backseat drivers also.
They know weird things.
Go, Mom. Go, Mom.
And there's the liquor store.
We're driving by the liquor store.
The beer store.
And Elizabeth's like, hey, there's the liquor store. And I'm like, that's right, honey.
Mom, do we need to stop at the liquor store?
Elizabeth, do you need anything?
The law has just changed where they can come in now.
Yeah, we can take our kids in the liquor store. And so, I thought about having a family trip to the liquor store the other day.
They just touch everything.
Yeah.
They would love that.
Crash. Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah. So we went to the brewery. On Sunday after Holy Mass, we went to the brewery, and I was just going to run in real quick, grab a 4-pack, because it was a special. American Slayer had the 3-year IPA.
Yeah.
So I was like, I want to grab a 4-pack. And Luke said, hey, can I come in with you? I'm like, yeah, you can. And so both Luke and Jude, obviously Jude wanted to join in naturally. So we went in there, and we walked back out, and as soon as we got in the car, Luke goes, yeah, Mom, I went into the liquor store. There's 2 TVs in there. They're both playing football games. I just sat there and watched football while Dad bought his beer.
It's profound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a big day.
He felt pretty big.
Yeah.
It's my new favorite place. Just going to say.
Okay. Is there anything that you ladies had questions or wanted to ask or talk about before we...
When you see these guys out and about, they are not celebrities, okay?
That's what I keep saying.
And it is funny to watch that happen.
Or to hear that from somebody.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you're Adam Minahan's wife? I said, that's how people know me.
It's just like, so
Adam
funny.
Minahan's wife, and I know, yeah, it is different.
My mom also thinks it's funny.
Well, it is
funny.
Yeah.
It is.
I have to correct him. I'm like, no, you don't.
He's
understand.
My husband.
That's true. Yeah.
Well,
I just think it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
And also, this is really not really pertinent, but it's interesting because, like, I feel like I know women who are gift givers, you know, like, oh, I'm so great. Like, you came and did this talk, like, you know, here's a candle or here's a scarf, I knitted or something. But the guys, they give you things and it's like woodworking things or laser etched decanters. And it's like, that's really cool to see the craftsmanship from the males, you know, I know what craftsmanship from the women look like. And so that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Even though they're not celebrities, but, you know, if you give them things, I think it's cool still.
But if you would like to send us liquor, you can go to CatholicManshow.com. Yes. And
you should see my husband's face just light up when I send a text message of, you know, a heavy box has arrived. And we know what's in it. And he's just
always pumped.
We get all the books at our house.
Yeah, you get the books, we get the liquor. That's a good trade-off.
I'll switch you.
Okay, do you have anything else, Dave?
No. Ladies, thank you for supporting us.
Thank you for all your support.
In our ministry.
Happy to be here.
Yeah.
Because literally we couldn't do it without you. I mean, like,
literally.
It just wouldn't work.
Mm-hmm. Haley, was it as bad as what you thought it was going to be?
Well, I didn't think it was going to be necessarily bad.
So we voted, up on Instagram, I said, should we have our wives on and I had them vote.
Yeah.
And Haley voted no.
Yeah, she was one of only a few people who said
no. But
there were others.
She did not realize that I was going to be able to see who voted what.
Right. It's not anonymous.
It's not an anonymous vote.
I thought it was anonymous, so I was like, I'm just going
to... So she was like trying to skew the numbers.
No.
Yeah, and voted no.
We had one person vote no 12 times. Yeah. We looked it up, and it was you, Haley.
I do like to stay in the background, and that's...
You know what? The worst part was before we actually started, because like you can hear yourself. And it's like, is anyone listening to us yet? And I need to blow my nose. Yeah,
do I always sound this funny? Like, people have to listen to this.
They get to listen to it.
Thank you. Yeah, you're right.
Any parting advice for married women out there? Just like last.
Love your husbands.
Mm-hmm. Be a saint.
What do you mean? What do you specifically mean by that?
Physically love your husbands. Mm-hmm. Physically.
By physical touch.
Is this like a
physical touch?
Words of affirmation.
Married, married kind of
service.
Thing?
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
I'm afraid to say anything, so yes.
She's about to give birth to our fourth child.
Mm-hmm. If that tells you
if that says
anything at all.
I think we can end it now.
Yeah, let's go out on that.
Sex.
BreadBox Media Programming is brought to you by... It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com. Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.